Romans chapter number 3. Once you arrive there, I want you to find verse number 10. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. Stand with me if you would. Romans chapter 3, verse number 10. I'll read out loud and you can follow along silently. The Bible says this, Romans 3:10, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seek after God. They're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Now I want you to go down to verse number 23. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Please listen this morning as I say to all of us something that I want to say in, as a representative statement about our church. The sermon is called, The Unrighteous Are Welcome Here. And let's pray. Father, hide me behind the cross. I want nothing more to have a church that pleases you. I don't really care what others think. But today, may the heart of God be reflected in the sermon by this little country preacher. Do something to remind us of what you are, what we are, and what the church is really all about. Bless us with thy presence. God, salvage the backslidden, saved the lost, encourage us sinful humans, please, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. Do you know that some churches do not want sinners to attend? Some churches only want those that are perfect to attend. Some churches only want those that are sinless to attend. They almost have this attitude, it's R4 and no more. Well, so you know, there's no one that's sinless. Some churches are not interested in those that are what are not finished products. I want you to know something. Here at the Twin Rivers Baptist Church, you're welcome to be here. The righteous, the unrighteous, everybody is welcome to be here. See, there's only two kinds of people here today. There are lost sinners. Those are people that have not receive Jesus as Savior. Then there are saved sinners. Those are the ones that have received Jesus as Savior that are still working on themselves. The church of God was not created just for perfect people. If that were the case, nobody would be allowed to come. If you went out and you found a perfect church and then you joined it, you'd blow their record. I have to tell you this story. I have an evangelist friend. I will not mention his name. He worked with Brother Lester Roloff for many years. How many of you have ever heard of Brother Roloff, the old time gospel hour? And we're friends, and we're friends to this day. And we've traveled together and spoken at conferences together. And he's about 6'8", and he used to be a barroom bouncer. I mean, he's a pretty wild fella, and I remember one time we were preaching together. He got so wound up while he was preaching, he ripped his shirt off. Now, a shirt's big enough to make a tent out of it. I mean, huge. Huge. But he was so wound up, and he was trying to talk about how the love of God was down deep in his chest, and he grabbed his shirt and he ripped it off. And I'm thinking, oh, no. Last thing we need is a striptease up there on the platform. But he ripped that old shirt off. But he has a favorite saying, and he says this. He'd say it all the time. He'd say that, my name is Jimmy. I'll take what you give me. Well, first of all, his name wasn't Jimmy. but he would take what you give him. But the whole attitude behind his favorite statement was, you know, my name is Jimmy. I'll take what you give me. It was that whatever you give me, I'll be satisfied with that. And that was kind of, but he'd say that all the time. My name is Jimmy. I'll take what you give me. My attitude toward the people that attend the church is this. My name is Jimmy. I'll take what you give me. You know what I want every one of us to do? I want every one of us to take the sin out of our lives. I'd like us to be pure and holy. I'd like us to be perfect. We ought to strive for it, but none of us are going to reach it. So you know what I do? I say to myself, these are the folks God's given me, and they're to strive to do the best that they can, but none of them are going to reach perfection. There's only one that was ever perfect. That was Jesus, and they crucified him. But my name is Jimmy. I'll take what you give me. Do your best. That's what God wants. Do your best, Christian. I think the churches who run off what we would call the unrighteous are not doing God a favor. There are no sinless people. There are no sinless saints. There are no flawless human beings. There are no finished products. There are only two kinds of people here today. There are some people here who are not saved, and you are what we would call a lost sinner. Lost means you've not found Jesus and you're not born again. The other kind of person that's here, somebody that is saved, you've trusted Jesus as Savior, but you are still a sinner. So two kinds of folks here today, saved sinners and lost sinners. And, so you know, both are welcome to come to our church. My sermon's quite simple, but I believe necessary. Please hear me out. First of all, lost sinners are welcome here. In Luke chapter 15, verse 1 and 2, it says this, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." The Pharisees had found Jesus, and Jesus had welcomed the sinners to him, and the Pharisees were criticizing Jesus. Jesus had taken some time to spend and try to help some lost sinners, and these Pharisees said, "What in the world are you doing, Jesus, with those lost sinners?" Now, let me tell you something. Jesus was, Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that was lost." That's what Jesus was supposed to do. He's supposed to go find those sinners. Now, I don't think Jesus was becoming bosom buddies and best friends with these sinners. I think Jesus was trying to reach the lost. And that's what he's supposed to do. Hey, if you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're not born again, I want you to know, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. You're welcome to be here. We want you here. I think there's some people that say, "Well, I'm not a believer, and I go down to that church, they'll run me out on a rail." No, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. I think Jesus is glad you're here. You say, "Well, preacher, why do you think Jesus is glad I'm here?" Because he loves you. He died for you. He was buried for you. He was resurrected for you. And you weren't going to learn about that down at Target. And you weren't going to learn at that down at Exxon gas station. You were going to learn about it at a church that would tell you the truth about Jesus Christ. And so if you're a lost sinner and you're here today, thank you for coming. I am so glad you are here, and you are welcome here. This church, part of our purpose is to help lost sinners get saved. Now listen, if this is your very first time here, I want you to come back. If you know what I really want you to do? If you're here and you're not saved, I'd like for you to get saved today here at church. That's what I'd like for you to do. But if you don't, won't you come back tonight? Or come back on Wednesday night? Or come back next Sunday? If you reject Jesus, and so you know that's what it is, I'm going to say to you, you ought to accept Jesus, and you say, "I'm not going to do it." That's actually rejecting him. I'm not trying to offend you. That's not my intent at all. I'm just telling you, if you accept him today, that's what we'd really love to see happen. But if you reject him today, why don't you come back? You say, "You want somebody to reject Jesus to come back?" Yeah, sure. You say, "Why?" "I'll take a shot at him again." You know what? If you come back, I get a chance to tell you the same thing. You say, "What is that?" God loves you. And Jesus died for you. And he was buried for you. And he was resurrected for you. Now, if you're not saved, you can't join our church. That's just one of the policies that God set up for the church. But if you will just keep coming back, you know what I'll do? I'll keep begging you to get saved. I still get a chance at you. So what are you trying to do? I'm trying to keep you out of hell. That's what the church is supposed to do. That's what the church is supposed to do. But let me tell you, if you're lost, you're unsaved, and you keep coming back, I have to tell you, I'll keep saying the same thing. I'll keep insisting that you get saved. I'll keep insisting that you trust. I'll keep insisting that he died for you, he was buried for you, and resurrected for you. I'll keep telling you that God loves you. Our only chance of getting people saved is getting the gospel to them. So if you're lost, you're welcome to come. But I'll tell you, I'll keep working on you. Let me tell you this. So if you're a lost sinner and you're here today, you're welcome to be here. Secondly, if you're a saved sinner, you're welcome to be here today. Because there's only two kinds of people here, lost sinners and saved sinners. The Bible says, you say, well, I'm not so bad. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You say, according to who? God. 1 John 1:8 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Now, you might be deceiving yourself. You can deceive yourself if you want to, but the reality is you're a sinner still. You're on your way to heaven. You've accepted Christ as Savior, but you still do things that are wrong. You do unrighteous acts. You know what I think we all ought to do? We ought to quit sinning. Hey, you say, that's way too simple. There's more to this. Oh, I think we ought to just quit sinning. But I don't know about you, but I've been working at this for a long time. And I can't seem to get that done. About the time I fix one thing, something I'd fixed a long time ago, I look at it and I say, oh, you buggered that up again. There you are misbehaving in that area. After salvation, sin, it's something that happens. You get saved and you ought to want to stop. But I'll tell you this, if you get saved, you won't enjoy your sin like you used to. Something happens. God comes to live inside you, and some of the things you used to do that you used to think that was the berries, now you're thinking it's terrible. And you're working on it. You're trying to change yourself. Now, I want you to know that if you're a saved sinner, you're welcome here. There are only two kinds of sinners, lost sinners, and if you keep coming, I'll keep telling you about Jesus. And saved sinners, if you keep coming, I'll keep trying to get you to give up the sin in your life. But now, let me warn you of something. If you're a born-again Christian and you have sin in your life, you are certainly limiting what God can do with you. You're limiting the victories in your life. But, let's face it, we're not going to get all the sin out of our lives till we get to heaven. Did you know the church was made to help sinners? The Apostle Paul said, of whom I am chief. You say, Paul said that about you? No, he said it about himself. But I agree. I am chief of sinners. Hey, none of us are perfect. Folks, this church may be different than some other churches you know of or you've heard about. This church is a hospital, not a museum. This is not a museum. We're not here to look at all the beautiful, perfect artifacts. We're a bunch of sinners, either saved sinners or lost sinners, that are trying to get this thing worked out. And if you're unsaved, I want to get you saved. And if you're saved, I want to help you clean up your life. But we're never going to get all that done until we get you to heaven. So keep on coming to church. You say, you mean if I have sin in my life, I can keep coming to church? Absolutely you can. Say, what are you going to do? I'm going to tell you about it. Say, are you mad at me? I'm just like you. I'm a saved sinner. I just happen to get the job of telling all of us to knock it off. But it's not personal between me and you. I'm just like you. I'm a saved sinner. Now, you say, well, what are you talking about? Well, let's say that you're committing some unrighteous act. Okay. If you're committing the unrighteous act of hating people, I want you to know we want to help you with that. John 15:12 says, love one another. You don't have to be a real good Christian to know you're supposed to love people. And that hating people is not God's way. You say, but I hate somebody. Should I stop coming to church? Absolutely not. The hatred of people is sin. And I'd like to see you, though you hate someone, I'd like to see you in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. You say, well, why? Well, now, just so you know, I will preach against hating people. I'm not taking it off the docket because you're guilty of it. Because you know what would have to happen? I couldn't preach on anything. I will preach against our hating people. But I don't want you to leave the church. You know, you're supposed to love your enemy. You say, I have an enemy and I hate him. Well, I want you to keep coming to church. You say, why? Because I'd like to teach you how to love your enemy. And I can't teach you how to love your enemy if you don't come to hear the teaching. I can't stop preaching against your sin. I must preach against that which God commands that I'm to preach on. But I need someone, and thank God, I have people. And there's lost
sinners and save sinners. And God said, go help those sinners. That's what the church is all about. So if you say, well, I have hatred in my heart towards someone, am I allowed to come to church? Absolutely. How about going to some other sin? You know, when we hear the verses, there are none righteous, no, not one. And for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You think that's all just about getting someone born again? I'm sorry. That's for getting people saved, and that's for saved people that need to change their lives as well. How about the sin of fornication? You don't hear very many preachers preach against certain kinds of sins anymore. But, you know, you'll probably hear it here. The sin of fornication. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, flee fornication. But now, you say, what is that? That is where two people are having sexual contact and a sexual relationship outside of marriage. That's wrong. Still sin. Bad. You say, says who? God. Still in the Bible. God didn't take it out. Say, but in the modern day, the modern morality, fooey on the modern morality. What, God's the one that determines the difference between right and wrong. Fornication, sin. I'd like to see you, though, you say, I've done that. And you may be dabbling in fornication now. I'll tell you what, you're welcome to come back to church tonight. You say, that's nice of you. Yeah, but I'm liable to teach against fornication tonight. How am I going to stop doing that? I will keep teaching against the sins that are committed in our society, because the Bible teaches it. You don't. I'm not trying to make you leave our church. If you leave our church, I don't have a chance of trying to help you to stop. Hey, I know people that were fornicating that just happened to come back to church a few more times. You know what? God got all over them on it, and finally they got convicted about it, and they cleaned their lives up, and they got it all straightened out. Now they're living purely. Probably wouldn't have happened if they had not come back to keep hearing the preaching against the sin that they were committing. You know, and sometimes Christians, they have their pet sins. The ones that they really don't like. Well, God doesn't like any of them, just so you know. While you're busy hating somebody else's, God's busy hating some of yours. For instance, how about the sin of cursing? Proverbs 17:4 talks about people that have a naughty tongue. You know, you're not supposed to cuss. Swear. You say, I've got a filthy mouth. Well, I don't think you ought to have a filthy mouth. I think you ought to clean it up. Psalm 19:14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Stop the cussing. You say, when I get mad, I cuss my kids. Well, you're wrong. That's sin. You ought to stop it. You say, well, preacher, I cuss, and I suppose you wouldn't want me in the church. You come back. Now, I don't think you ought to cuss at home. I don't think you ought to cuss at church. But I'm telling you, you ought to stay in church. You say, hey, well, thank you for the invitation. Well, I will tell you this. I'm going to keep on preaching against cussing. God's last name is not damn, folks. Throw somebody else's name in front of that filthy second word. But I will keep on preaching it. You say, and people get to feeling bad. Go to church. You can come here. Don't you cuss at my church. But I am telling you that my only chance of helping you is to get you in here where I can tell you the difference, scripturally, between right and wrong. Did you know that if you leave church and you don't come back, I don't get to tell you the difference between right and wrong anymore. You say, I'll find a church that won't tell me the difference between right and wrong. Well, you might as well go to Walmart then. What do you think about finding a church where the pastor will tell you the difference between right and wrong and love you while you do wrong and help you until you can get it right? But I'm not going to change what I can't change what the Bible said. And I come from a generation of preachers that do not let the signs of the times stop them from preaching the difference between right and wrong. Wrong is still wrong. But you say, do you hate me? I don't hate anybody. The joy of my life is loving and helping people. Say, preacher, I messed up. I hate that sin. You mess up. You don't have to run from your preacher because I'm not mad at you and I don't hate you. I will tell you the difference between right and wrong. And I have no intent, God helping me. I should never change what right and wrong is. That's not my call. But there's one thing I can do. I can love you when you're wrong. Say, well, preacher, I cuss. hey, I think you ought to stop that.
Sin. It's wrong. Well, you want me to stop coming to church? No. No. Preacher, I get into the booze. I got a problem with booze. By the way, Proverbs 20, verse 1 says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. God tells us not even to look at it when it moveth in the cup. Not even look at it?
Mm-hmm.
And you say, but I got a problem with that. I'd like to help you with it, but I want you to understand, it's sinful. You ought to stay away from it. You ought to give it up.
I have an extra hatred for liquor.
Because I watched my uncles ruin their lives in my grandfather's bar. I know what it'll do to you. I know what it does to families and to children. And I hate it. But I guarantee you this. While I hated what I watched it do to my oldest uncle, especially, I never hated him. I loved him. I sat back and I thought, oh my, what you have done to your life. He died early. He had cirrhosis of the liver. You say, well, preacher, I tipped the bottle. You want me out of here? No, no. You're welcome to come back. Don't come here drunk. You're not welcome to do that. You say, but I've got a little problem with that liquor thing. What do? You keep coming. Oh, thank you for the invitation. Sure, you're welcome here. Now, don't be shocked that I don't preach a 45-minute sermon and we don't rattle the rafters and I throw a fit about what liquor will do to you. Say, are you mad at me? No, I'm mad at the devil. I stay mad at the devil. But I love you and I want to help you. This is not a museum, it's a hospital. You say, what's your ultimate goal? Get you cleaned up. And some of you, that you're self-righteous, and you look down on people that are committing certain sins, maybe we ought to look into your background, find out what you used to be like before somebody was patient enough to grow you and help you to conquer some of the sins that are very, very powerful in life. The sins of the saved. There are saved people that hate. You're not supposed to hate, but we'll help you with it. There are saved people that fornicate, and you're not supposed to, and it ought to stop, and it's wrong, and it's sinful. We'll try to help you with that. There are saved people that will curse, and I don't think you ought to. I think you can overcome that, and you can make up all the excuses you want about what comes out of your mouth, but if you wanted to stop it, you could stop it. Say, well, I haven't got a handle on that yet. Well, you come back and I'll try to help you. But you don't have to leave. Hey, do you steal God's tithe? Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 and 9, it says, wherein have we robbed thee? And the answer is in tithes and offerings. The Bible teaches that we are to give one-tenth of our gross income to the Lord. God says if you don't do that, you're stealing. Now, some of you are doing very well when I was talking about the booze and stuff like that. These are sins, too. The stealing of God's tithe. You say, I don't tithe. Am I welcome in your church? Absolutely. If you steal God's money, you're welcome to come here. Yeah, no problem. I'd like to see you here Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Now, you'll have to deal with one thing. The Bible teaches to not tithe is a sin, which means I am obligated to tell you you need to tithe. You know what happens? It's not a matter of I can't put up with you. So you can't put up with me because I won't change what's right and I'll remind you where the Bible teaches you're wrong. I won't stop loving you. You probably stop loving me, but I don't plan on stop loving you when you do wrong. The problem is you may stop loving me when you do wrong. God doesn't stop loving you when you do wrong. The problem is not the love flow from God to you, it's you to God. Say, preacher, I don't tithe, and I'm not going to. Don't believe in it. Can I come here? Absolutely. We'll let somebody else pay for the air conditioning and the building payment and the water and all of that, and you're welcome to come. But I may say things like that right there. Say, you mad at me? No, I'm just telling the truth.
It's what I'm supposed to do as a preacher. See, only two kinds of sinners, saved ones and lost ones. And if you're a saved one and you're hating or fornicating or cursing or drinking or stealing the tithe, I have to tell you it's wrong. I can't change what I preach. And you're welcome here. How about the sin of lust? 2 Peter 2:10, it talks about the lust of uncleanness. If you struggle with lust, you're welcome here. Now, I want to recommend that you keep your eyes off the people in the church so that you're not looking at them in a lustful way. You say, but am I welcome if I'm struggling with lust? And I think everybody has moments where they struggle with lust. But I want you here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Some of you remember back when you first started coming to church, preacher would say things that rub you raw, and you'd wonder, do I want to go back? And you usually weren't irritated at him when he was on your side on things. You know what bothered you, don't you? Things like this. You say, I don't know if I want to go back. I don't think they want me there. No. It's not that we don't want you here. You might not want to hear what we have to say, but you're welcome. But the sin of lust. Now, I have to keep preaching against lust. You say, why? Because it's sin. God said it's sin, and it's wrong. I can't change right and wrong. God determines that. But you're welcome here. You say, what's your goal? I'd like to see you have victory over lust, and victory over your cursing, and victory over your alcohol, and victory over your fornication, and victory over adultery, and victory over your hate. I'd like to see you get victory. And I'm going to take the chance of saying, come back where I can take another opportunity to teach you and preach to you and help you to have victory in your life. But we can't change what the Bible says. I think there's some terrible wicked music out there. I think rock and roll music can tend toward being demonic, and country music, everybody's drinking and crying in their beer and dancing with somebody else's wife, and rap is shooting people, and I think there's so much terrible music out there. You say, well, I listen to that kind of stuff. You're welcome here, but while you're here, I'll make statements like I just did. But I'm not going to change what I believe. So you know, any preacher that was worth his weight in years past used to say things about things like that, but they're all cowards and they don't want to say it anymore. But I promise you this, I'm not mad at you. I've got problems with some of those things. Am I welcome to come to church here? Absolutely. Now, don't find a corner in my church building and try to play rock music. We will unplug your device. That's not going to happen. We don't allow that here. But what I'm telling you is, you're welcome. I want you back. You say, could I come back tonight? Absolutely. There are people that you'll leave here and flip on your radio and play music that I would never allow. But you say, am I welcome to come back to church? Absolutely. You say, why? Because I want to help you. I'm going to teach you while I do it. Because I want you to have victory. You say, what's your ultimate goal? I'd like to see you get that stuff out of your life. That's what I'd like to see. But you understand, I can't change what is right and what is wrong. God determines that. And then he told me, go tell him. So I come tell you, and just so you know, I'm not just coming and telling you, I have to tell me too. I have a flesh that I must deal with. I have to deal with the temptations of life just like you. Hey, how about the sin of gossip? Are you a gossip? James 3:6 talks about the tongue being a fire of iniquity. You say, I rattle on. I misuse my Facebook account. Boy, that's trashed many a human being, the misuse of a Facebook account and texting and blogging. But the Bible says you're not supposed to talk bad about people. Now, if you talk bad about people, I think you ought to stop it. I think you ought to knock it off. I think it's sin. I think it's wrong. I think that if you don't have anything good to say about someone, just keep your mouth shut. And I think you put God on edge even with this one. But you say, am I allowed to come to church? Sure, but you'll have to deal with something. I hate gossip. God hates gossip. Which means, if you're a gossip on your Facebook account, you may come to church, but I will clean your ever-loving clock from time to time and tell you to stop it, knock it off, clean your life up, get that out of your life. say, well, preacher, are you going to get tired of me? No, you probably get tired of me. Say, when will I cease to find myself tired of you? Probably when one of the two of us change. You can ask around. I've been saying these things since I was a 16-year-old preacher. I'm now almost, honey, I'm 55, 56, 56, 56. I'm going to be 56 soon. So I've been saying the same thing, and here's what I've asked God. I've asked God to help me never to change what I believe from the Bible. No matter how many times they want to try to change the Bible, or no matter what's popular in Christianity, I can't change it. You know, you take the sin of prayerlessness. You know that is a sin, right? Now, some of you are doing a lot better when I was back talking about the liquor. So, that's right! Now I'm talking about your prayerlessness. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Do you? How would you feel if we could get, if we had a prayer monitor, and I could bring your name up on a great big screen, and we could see how much you prayed this week, and everybody could see that you barely prayed. You barely prayed over your meals, and everybody could see it. Would you be embarrassed? You see, you got to see somebody else's sin, because some of them are still young in the Lord. You got to see it. They're not as slick as you. They don't know how to hide their sin like you do, because you're pretty good at it now. So I don't pray. Am I welcome here? Sure, we wouldn't have anybody coming if everybody came here on the basis of prayer. You think I'm not telling it right? You consider yourself a prayer warrior? You really get down to it? Say, should I leave? Oh, no. Stay. You say, why? I'd like to teach you to pray. We believe men and women are to look different. You know what? I will keep on saying that till the day I die. You're stuck with a preacher that believes. I'm not for the unisex movement. Not in hairstyle, dress, or anything. You say, you want me to leave? No. Say, why? I'd like to help you learn and grow. Are you unfaithful to God's house? Well, let me tell you this. Get this. My name is Jimmy. I'll take what you give me. Saying, I'm only coming on Sunday morning. That's all you're going to get out of me. I want you to come. Are you mad at me? Come on. But you will hear me mention Sunday night church. And you will hear me mention Sunday school. And you will hear me mention Wednesday night. Say, well, I'm not coming. Hey, don't get mad at me. I'm just supposed to tell you. By the way, there's some others that if I tell them, they will come. They say, you coming after me? No, I'm going after them. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some are. So I can't stop preaching the importance of being faithful to church. That's not what I'm supposed to do. I got to keep on preaching it, so you say, I'm just not going to be faithful. Okay. So I'm coming one time, and that's all you get. I'll take it. And then one day I hope to hear you say, okay, twice a week, that's all you get. I say, okay, I'll take it. And then three times a week. That is reasonable, isn't it? You know, am I telling you the tricks of the trade or what? I mean, you say, I'm not a member of your church. I'm not going to become a member of your church. Am I allowed to come? Absolutely. You say, why? I could never get you as a member if I can't get you here to talk you into doing it. You say, you kidding? No. So I'm never going to join. That's it. I'm a member of Uncle Roy's church, and I'm never moving. Okay, fine. But I still need to tell people they need to get saved, get baptized, and join the church, and it sure makes sense to be a member where you're being fed. Are you mad at me? No. Can I still come? Sure. Are you after me? A little, but not like you think. I'm after you because God told me to teach you the truth. Wouldn't you want to be wanted? You want to be a non-member and me say, I don't want you here. Or do you want to be a non-member and me say, I want you here. Which one do you want? Make up your mind. Well, I want to be wanted, but I'm not joining. Okay. Who's on first? I don't know. I'm just telling you the truth this morning. The unrighteous, which includes all of us, are welcome here. I will tell you this. People that put me on edge most are not people that commit sins like I'm talking about. It's evil people. It's people that are out to destroy. It's people that are out to hurt people. I don't chase after evil people because the Bible tells me to separate from evil people. If you're in my church and you decide you want to destroy somebody else in my church, destroy my church, you're going to see me put the hold sign up. You say, why? Scriptural. I'm not going to yield to that evil. But otherwise, you're welcome here. So you all know, I'm an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, King James Bible, no apologies, Baptist preacher. That's what I am. Most of the time, if you know me and you know my church, and you could say what you want about any of the other churches, most of the time when people stop coming here, it's because they couldn't handle me reminding them of right and wrong. It's not because I didn't love them. Because I love people. And I can't stop reminding all of us the difference between right and wrong. But while we're growing, we just got to keep coming. And keep coming. Preacher, there's some things that you preach that I don't do. Am I welcome here? Yes. That's the case of all of us. The absent element is just in different parts of life. You hear about the farmer named Jimmy. He overturned the hay on his hay wagon. He ran to the neighbor's house to get help. And the neighbor said, okay, but can you stay for supper? And Jimmy said, no, my dad wouldn't like it. They said, please stay. He did anyway. At the end of the meal, they said, where's your dad? He said, he's under the hay wagon. Let me explain something to you. May I recommend to you, when I mention sin that you think separates me and you, could I recommend you not leave God under the hay wagon? Why don't, instead of you worrying about that, why don't you take care of that? So why am I not doing it? Okay. That's between you and God. But I got to remind you, no way out of it for me. You could get a preacher that has lace on his underclothes and intimidate him out of it. But that won't happen. That won't happen here, as you can quite well see. If you're not saved, you ought to get saved today. You ought to get saved. Craziest thing that ever happened to you is get born again. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. This invitation will not, I think, be lengthy, but here's the question. First of all, if you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? Is there somebody here that would say, Pastor, I do not know I'm saved. I need to be born again, and God has spoken to my heart about it. Would you raise your hand and say, I need to be saved? Who here would say, Pastor, I know I'm saved. I'm not ashamed of the fact that I'm saved. I can raise my hand in testimony to the fact that I have received Jesus Christ as my Savior. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me, I'm saved, I know I am. You may put your hands down. If you're not born again, I wish you'd get saved today. We're going to have an altar call. That altar call is so that if you need to come and get saved, we'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. There'll be people down front to help you with that. Hey, Christian, born again Christian, you heard from a pastor's heart today. If you're doing wrong, I think you ought to stop it. If there's some right things that you're not doing, I think you ought to start them. But if you don't, be back to church tonight. Be back to church on Wednesday night. Just keep on coming. It's good for you. And it's good for God's work. Who here would say, Pastor, God has definitely spoken to my heart about something today? And you would raise your hand. There are hands everywhere. God bless you. God bless you. You may put your hands down, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart. Whatever it is that got on you a bit today, you know this preacher loves you. You never have to worry about there being tension between you and I because of a sin. We're just a bunch of saved sinners. Never is there going to be tension, but you're welcome. God wants you. I want you. We're going to have an altar call. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need to be saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. If you need to be baptized, why don't you come? If you want to get baptized today, we'll help you with that. Maybe there's something in your life that should not be there, and you need a moment on your knees to say, I've got to get that worked out. I've got to get that worked out. Brother JV, if you need to use part of that second row there, you certainly can. If you need to be saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're going to follow the Lord in believers' baptism today, why don't you come and let us help you make that public so we can get you on your way to getting prepared for baptism. Fellas in the aisle there, try to make a little space so someone can get through. No doubt in my mind, as a church like ours grows, there are people that wonder, say, Pastor, I don't do things that you preach about. Are you mad at me? Are you at odds with me? No, not at all. I want to help you. I want to help you. I've got to preach the truth. I do it with some pungency. I do it with some conviction. But I want you to know, I love you. I want to help you. You just keep on coming, and we'll try to help you grow. Hey, there's some of you, you used to be past some things. There's some things that were bad, and you took them out of your life, and you've backslid. And you say, well, should I keep on coming? Absolutely. Absolutely. We want you to keep coming. We want to help you.